Our scripture today comes from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. This is the story of a man who was born blind, receiving sight from Christ. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and he made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which meant sent. Then he went and washed and came back, and he was able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some were saying, "It is he." And others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." And he kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, and he spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go and wash.' And then he went and washed, and I received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." This is God's living word for all people. Thanks be to God. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some movies that are relevant for today. And today we're talking about the movie The Greatest Showman. This is the story of P.T. Barnum and how he moves from the ordinary to a bold vision through a new opportunity. I'm going to ask Yale to show our trailer for today.
"Can I have your attention? You're all dismissed."
"Bankrupt. Better luck with your next job."
"I am not a stranger to the dark."
"This is not the life I promised you. Not even close."
"'Cause we don't want your broken parts."
"Girls, I think I've had an idea."
"P.T. Barnum, at your service. I'm putting together a show. And I need a star. Every one of us is special. And nobody is like anyone else. That's the point of my show. Ready? Showtime."
Being like everyone else.
"I can't just run off and join the circus."
"Why not? I mean, you clearly have a flair for show business."
"For show business?"
"Mm-hmm."
"I've never heard of it."
"Because I just invented it."
I will say, if you haven't seen this movie, it's a super positive movie. It's got some good music and a lot of really good themes. We're actually going to continue with movie nights. In February, we'll have Moana and Spider-Man Homecoming. And then in March, we're actually going to be showing The Greatest Showman after it comes out. So if you didn't get a chance to see it and you want to see it on a big screen, if you haven't found it in the theaters, you can come back in March and watch it together. Sometimes there's beauty in the boldness that it takes to step out of your comfort zone. And we'll talk a little bit more about the movie in a minute. But I wanted to tell a story. When I was ordained, that's in the United Methodist Church, this is when they fully recognize you as a pastor of the church. In fact, they call it being an elder. So when I became an elder, I feel it more and more each day. I was ordained with a group of clergy that represented a very wide spectrum of backgrounds and beliefs and perspectives. But really, it also was filled with different characters. And one of those characters was my friend Joel. Joel stood out from the crowd because he didn't always want to conform to what everybody wanted him to do. But oftentimes, this nonconformity happened in a beautiful way. That was never more evident than when we were introduced before the conference. This is the gathering of people all across Michigan that come together, and they invite the clergy that are about to be recognized as full clergy or elders to stand up and share a little bit about themselves so that they could actually be voted on. And so as all of us pastors were standing, this was on a stage not so dissimilar from this. We were all standing behind, kind of wringing our hands, waiting to go in front of everybody. We were all well-groomed in full suits. I had a shirt and tie and full suit on. I was looking spiffy. And we were waiting, and all of a sudden, Joel walks up. And Joel had a camp t-shirt on. He did have a blazer over it, a pair of jeans, and some rope sandals that he was wearing. And we all looked at him like, Joel, you know what we're about to do, right? We're going to go before the whole conference to be voted on. And he said, what? Jesus wore sandals. It'll be fine. And so they started taking us out one by one, and we would quietly stand in front of the wider church and humbly express with thoughtfulness what God had done in our lives and sharing a bit of what we had hoped for the church. Each answer from my colleagues was well thought through. Faith, love, connection, spiritual shepherding, all beautiful, inspiring things to share, but very measured. That was until Joel got up. And he stood in front of everybody and he said, I want to be crazy for Christ. I want to be so on fire that nobody else can help but to catch the flame. I want to be crazy for Christ. And you could feel the tension in the room as some of the people who had been elders for a long time and even those who had been laypersons for a long time kind of looked at him like, he's crazy. Yeah, I can see that. And others who were just getting pumped up of the message that he had, Joel was going to be crazy for Christ. And people applauded when he finished. After the service the next day, where we were all affirmed and the bishop put hands on our heads and said, take your authority. There was a gathering in the cafeteria and all the candidates were spaced out all around. And people were invited to go and greet us. And it was a really kind of a beautiful morning. And I had people that I had never met come up to me and affirm me and hug me. I thought, wow, this is really a nice and powerful, powerful moment. But then something clicked in my brain after about five people had come up. And people said stuff like, good job, we need that. And finally, one woman came up to me and she wrapped her arms around me and she said, this crazy man needs a hug. I thought, oh. So Joel is a white guy in his 30s, dark hair, beard. On that day, we were both wearing the same alb and the same cincture. And I realized all of these nice people were actually there to go greet Joel, which is beautiful and fine. And I realized that without exaggeration, 10 more people came up to me and they said, I just want to give you a hug. And I would say to them as I gave them a hug, oh, I'm so thankful for your hug. But is there any chance that you're trying to go and see Joel? And about 7 of the 10 people kind of looked at me and looked over at him and like, oh, yeah. Like, I knew it. And they went to find Joel. But Joel's boldness had clicked for so many people, and his craziness for Christ was infectious. This makes me think of some of our biblical characters who showed the power of God so boldly that others couldn't help but to take notice. We have the story of Elijah when he's talking to the prophets of Baal. And essentially Elijah says, I will show you the power of God. And when he did, they couldn't help but to take notice. And I think about the story of Daniel in the Bible, who stood by his faith in God even when all those around him didn't understand, even when he was going to his supposed death in the lion's den. He continued to know and trust God. And because of this act, even King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't help but to see the power of God. I think of our scripture today when we hear about the blind man. People only knew him as this blind beggar. So when he was healed by Christ, people literally could not see him as the same person. And yet from that moment, he became a living testimony to the power of Christ. And he goes and tells everybody that he can. And he answers the questions of the skeptics to say, this is the Christ who has healed me. This is a story of boldness for Christ as well, who continues to heal and recognize those who others couldn't see in society. But it's the story of boldness for the man who is blind since birth. And as he was healed, he was also moved to share his faith with fervor. And even when the religious elites come to question what had happened in this moment, this man finds that identity of boldness to share his faith story and to claim Christ. That's what I love about the movie The Greatest Showman, because some of the most beautiful scenes in the movie come from when P.T. Barnum is reaching out to the people who feel like they've had to hide themselves from the world because they're different. But P.T. Barnum says to them, it's your difference that is going to make you interesting to see, and you will get to control your own destiny of who you want to be. P.T. Barnum was helping those who felt like they had to live in the shadows to claim boldly who God had made them to be. And from that invitation, they are too moved to confidence and strength, not to be worried about the assumptions that others may make of who they were, but to boldly claim their role, in this case, to be entertainers and leaders. The bold invitation, not only to be authentically who we are created to be, but to lead the way in invitation and sharing. There's power also in claiming our identity, and there's power in that invitation. Who we are perceived to be does not always matter as much as what God calls us to be. And just like in the scripture it says, even though this man couldn't be perceived by others, they couldn't physically tell that it was the same person. And yet, the only change for him is through this miracle of Christ. How can we be bold in sharing our faith, bold in being who God has called us to be, bold in invitation? I think about our high school youth group who took candy cane invitations all the way down Pleasant and invited people who may not have ever had a connection to the church, even though they're on the same street. That took some boldness to go out into our neighborhood. I think about the fun and joy of Will and Kristen and Autumn and Elodie and I going out to Carroll, to a different neighborhood close to our church, and to similarly share an invitation and hand out candy canes and say, come check out what God is doing in this place on Christmas Eve, and then keep coming. Over the last few days, many of the leaders from our church came together to talk about what it means to be bold leaders and to have bold vision for the future. One of the things that we talked about in this gathering as we started our conversation was the history of our church, hearkening all the way back to the 1820s. all throughout the history of our church, there have been periods of growth, and there's also been some periods of a holding pattern, or maybe a little bit of a slow decline. But what was consistent in the times of growth was a call to not rest where we were, but instead a call to see the expansion of the population around us as a call to adapt and care for the families that were in our community. The 1960s were one of those periods of great growth in our church, and a wonderful part of the conversation that came out from our weekend together was a letter from the 1960s, and I'm going to turn to Julie Work, who probably knows the actual details of this. So if I get it wrong, you can go ahead and say, Pastor. But what came out in this letter in the 1960s was a call to the congregation saying, we are strong. We are growing. But if we just stay in that world and don't continue to try to do new things and engage new people, then we're at a loss in this time. And they did so, and they continue to grow. We too are called to strive for boldness and vision and growth. As our forward team, a group of leaders who've been gathered together, as they continue to evaluate our data and the listening sessions that happened in our church and what came out of the conversations this weekend at the retreat, we will hear more as a church, and we'll have more opportunity to talk about what this means for us as a body of bold believers. But the call today is no different. We are also called to be bold and to step out for Christ in our faith and not rest on what has been, but to dream about what we can be together, to take us out of our comfort zones so that we can be more bold in our faith. When I think about my friend Joel and his craziness for Christ, I think maybe instead of redirecting people to Joel, which is what I did that morning, maybe instead I should have said, I need to take on a little bit of that boldness for myself. In fact, what I am going to work on in this week and going forward is a little bit more holy boldness, to be just a little more crazy for Christ. I'm going to start today. I have a giant head, so this is not going to work that well. I'm ready. I have to give a shout out to Kelly William, who literally, when I walked into her office and said, so I had this idea, maybe I could be a showman. And she said, yeah, we can help you out. And not only that, then she ironed it, which is kind of impressive. I ran into Jeff Nelson this week, and he said, I've got a coat for you if you need it. But luckily, I knew that Birmingham had one too. What does it take to step out of your comfort zones, to share joy, to share your faith more boldly, and to do it as making an invitation as priority? I do promise you that I will continue to work on my own boldness of invitation, my boldness as a leader, so that together we can move to a strong place. Christ transformed the life of this man in our scripture story, and that man could not help but to go out and boldly share. I ask for you and for myself, how have you been transformed by Christ, and how does that transformation mean that you too are called to go out boldly into the world? Shine is a special place of worship. We are set up uniquely to be a place where all are welcome, where we can be invitational. When people look for a church, they're looking for a space where they feel like they can be themselves. I believe that Shine is a place where that is true. But it takes more than just saying that it's true. It means when someone comes that may be different from us or the same as us, that means that we need to be invitational to them. That means when we come on Sunday, We should think about all the other people in our lives that also need transformation in their life, that need to be reminded that they are loved, that God has claimed them, that grace is real. And we need to boldly invite others who may need to hear that message in the same space. We have to be out in the world as well, inviting others to know of God's love, to know God's kingdom of grace, and love is present in this world. We have to get bold and maybe a bit out of our comfort zones in order to show God our love. So I ask you, how can you live boldly this week? How can you share your faith as a gift so that others can see the love of Christ in their own lives? How will you step out in faith? Let us bow our heads and pray together. Holy God, on this and every day, we thank you for the transformational power of your love in our lives, that even when we were broken, and as we continue to be broken, your grace abounds. God, you were in the healing of the man who was blind from birth. But what you said is that he was a testimony to your miraculous work. Let us also be a testimony to the miraculous work of your love in the world. Let us go out in faith, boldly claiming grace and love and that invitation of welcome to all. God, send us forth in boldness and faith. In your holy name we pray. Amen.